Hey, everyone, and welcome to another episode of the Engage to Flourish podcast. I'm your host, Damon, and I would like to welcome back to the show for the probably the third time in the last few weeks, Brett Harada. Welcome back, Brett.
Yes, sir. We back, baby.
This time, Brett is not going to be the co-host. This time, Brett actually gets to be the guest. So thanks for coming on, Brett.
Of course. Anytime. I always enjoy the podcast, and it's fun, and I learn a lot, and it's always good to share.
Yeah, so this time we actually get a chance to hear from Brett and some of the things that he's doing with our middle schoolers. But before we get to that, I wanted to ask Brett, what's something that God's been highlighting to you recently?
All right, so God has been highlighting this idea that, or it's funny how sometimes the smallest of things become big. And I mean that, I guess, in both a positive and a negative way. So what comes to mind actually is fantasy football. And I've been playing fantasy football for a while. And, you know, for those of you that don't know what fantasy football is, you know, you draft players and you kind of get to put your own team together. So it could be players from all different teams. And when they play, you get to score points. And you play other teams, and there's a winner and a loser based off of how the players did, right? So I really have no control over how it goes, right? But I feel responsible for my team, even though I have no, like, yeah, I can't make myself win or, you know, whatever. But my wife decided to play for the first year, right? Before, she'd always be like, why are you playing fantasy football? You're checking your scores, you know, all that stuff. But this year she has joined the realm of fantasy football. And, you know, unfortunately her season isn't going so well. Just like one of my teams in my league, we have a lot of similar players and our team isn't doing so well. And we ended up actually getting into a little bit of a quarrel, let's say, because of fantasy football.
Is that a nice way to say it?
Yeah, so we got into an argument. And I actually needed to apologize to her at the end of the day of the argument. And our conversation progressed from us being frustrated and upset and just kind of like not communicating the most healthy way to, by the end of it, of I apologized and she, you know, apologized as well. And we literally said, like, this is silly. Like, this is a fake game. Like, this doesn't do anything, but yet it ballooned into this bigger thing, right? And it caused tension and issue and frustration and hurt. And it started as this makeup imaginary game where we don't have any control over. It's just the players doing stuff and we get scores for it. And it doesn't do anything, but it ballooned to this bigger deal, right?
Yeah, I mean, if that's something that happens every once in a while for you, I mean, that's a daily thing in my house with my kids. That's, they're always fighting over, I want the pink cup, I want the yellow cup, I want this cup. It's like, it's just a cup. The thing inside the cup is the same for everybody.
Yeah, and so what came to mind in asking what God is highlighting, it was like, in the same way that these little things blow up into these big deals, mm-hmm. things that we end up caring so much about where we're like, why did we even put that much investment? Why did we put that much weight, that much emotion, that much care into it to get to the lengths of arguing and fighting, whatever, right? To whatever degree it is, the cups, yeah. fantasy football. Do we treat the little things on the opposite spectrum, good things, mm-hmm. in that same manner? Do we allow those little things? Do we care about those little things as much to see them blow up, to see them explode and balloon into bigger things, mm-hmm. right? Is that a quiet time? Can you spend your lunch 20 seconds? Can you spend 10 minutes? Can you spend 5 minutes? Can you spend 3 minutes praying or in silence with God? Does that little thing matter that much? Because what if that explodes into an awesome time, a revelation from God? What if that explodes into this deeper intimacy you have with him, right? Reading his word every day. Can you read a verse every other day? Can you read a verse once a week? You know, like, And it made me think like, oh, what are the little things like in my life that maybe I'm not giving it a chance to do that. But when it's negative stuff, I'm so willing to like, nope, I'm going to make sure I'm right. I'm going to, you know, like I'm so, you get so invested into it where it's these other things like that probably, well, not probably, they do mean something and so much more. Do I carry that same level of weight and investment into it?
Yeah. And we're in the season right now of trying to hear from the Lord. Pastor Barry has issued his 30-day challenge, which we've talked about on a different episode. But, you know, are we allowing those little things that the Lord might say to us about who you are? Mm-hmm. Or are we allowing some of the words that other people might prophetically say over us to have that weight too, right? And so as we're exploring these things, it as you're talking, it's like, am I allowing that word? So it's cool. Today we just had staff meeting, and one of the things that Pastor Barry had us do as a staff, and that's another reason why I wanted to have Brett on, because I feel like this conversation is going to give a little bit of a glimpse into some of the things that we talk about at staff meetings and stuff. That's one of the reasons that I wanted to have this podcast too, is because as a member of staff, I felt very privileged to be able to hear so many different stories from what's going on at church. So I wanted Brett to be able to share some of the stuff that he's doing. But anyway, I'm going off track a little bit.
That's all right.
So in our staff meeting, Pastor Barry had us do an exercise where he got us into small groups of like three people. And in each group, he had, you know, two of the people were supposed to seek the Lord and see if there was a word for the third person. Mm. And then after each person goes, then you just rotate. And so one of the words that was spoken over me was fun, and like they had a picture of like this jar and had a bunch of toys in it.
Mm.
And honestly, for me recently, it's been a very, I don't want to say busy. I want to say I've had a lot of things to do. And so I feel like there's been a lot of times where I've been on the go, 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 go. And so there hasn't been a lot of experiencing of fun for me, just because it's like, I'm just doing a lot of different things, and a lot of it's work related or just different things. And so recently I've been getting that word fun over from, I felt like the Lord spoke it to me personally. I felt like other people have been seeing that for me. And so as Brett is sharing, it's like, am I allowing that to sink in? And is that how God sees me and who God is turning me into?
Mm.
And so, yeah, I want to allow that, because who doesn't want to be more fun, or who doesn't want to have more fun, right?
Yeah.
People want that. And so for me personally, it's like, am I allowing that to sink in and grow? And am I giving that enough weight in my life for it to blossom into something?
Yeah, it's kind of as we're just even talking about it now, it's kind of weird to think about, like, I have to allow a good thing to grow and get bigger, where it's like a negative thing, it's so easy to make it so much bigger.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
Like, so I don't know if like, I mean, I'm sure it has to do some of like with the enemy, has to deal with like past stuff. You know, there's so many
some
factors.
Of it could be generational.
Yeah. It could just be all these different factors that it's so quick to like, balloon into something where it's like, whoa, that is not appropriate for the situation. But it's like these good things, it's easy to be like, I don't really know, or no, or like, you know, suppress that and not let that grow, not let that blossom and bloom and blow up in your life, and all of a sudden you're having a whole bunch of fun. It's like, oh, I'm not sure if that's right. But then these negative things, it's like you just act on it.
Yeah. So I think it's a really cool discussion to have, and something that it's awesome to hear how God's been highlighting that in your life. And I think we'll circle back to this a little bit later, because I think some of the things that we are going to talk about kind of relate to that too.
Mm, yeah.
So Brett, can you share some of the things that you've been doing recently with middle school? You know, for me as a parent with someone in middle school, it's been really cool to see my son come home with some of these different things that you guys are doing. And so I wanted you to be able to share some of those things and kind of the season that you're in and what you're doing with them, because I really feel like it's in alignment with what is going on with the adults in our church too. Hmm. I kind of mentioned that to you on Sunday after you were sharing with me a little bit of what you're doing. I was like, this is pretty much what Pastor Barry talked about in service today. And you did it with the youth, and you didn't even talk to Pastor Barry about it before either. So it's kind of cool that everything was in alignment.
Yeah. So, you know, preparing for this year, I felt was something that God put in my heart in terms of you need to be real intentional and focus on, not that I wasn't focused on it, but there was just a different highlighting that God had for preparing for this year.
Yeah. And last year was your first year too. So it was just kind of trying to feel everything out. It was a brand new ministry.
Yeah. So. Yeah. And with your son and their class moving in, and just the eighth graders, it being their last year in middle school, and just feeling like we were finally able to get out of that weird year of just, you know, all the stuff going on in the world. Not that it's over, but there's kind of like
a return to normal.
Yeah, more consistency and more continuity. Mm-hmm. And so I've actually had to say no to quite a few things because I feel like God was telling me, no, you need to like not spread yourself. Like you need to focus. And so flash forward to this Sunday, right? Preparing all of that and our first series is on the truth. So it was about when things get messy, how do you know like the truth? Mm-hmm. And initially the focus or the heart behind it is I want the middle schoolers, and a lot of times I'm teaching myself as well, or I'm learning things, is it's easy to know the truth, right? That's the first step, is knowing the truth. Mm-hmm. But then how do we live that out? Right. That translation, right? A lot of people say the greatest distance is between the head and the heart, mm-hmm. right? Or how do we put our thoughts into practice in our life? Mm-hmm. Right. And so the first 2 weeks, this being the second week of the series, the focus was actually on lies, mm-hmm. right? I did want them to learn about truth, but it's also like, well, how do we help them discern what a lie is? Mm-hmm. Right. Or a lot of it was more about deception, because sometimes bold-faced lies are easy to tell, but thoughts or things that have partial truth or, teaching them what deception is, mm-hmm. and how that can be, or that's not what God wants, that's tricky in itself. And so I gave them this paper, this handout that had lies that sometimes I feel like we would believe about ourselves. So some, just for example, someone were like, I'm broken. So it's like, there's something wrong with me. Like God's not going to heal me. To, I feel unworthy. To, I'm not like good at stuff. I'm not successful. To, I don't like the way I look. You know, all these things that I'm sure all of us at certain points, things have been spoken over us. We felt it, our own thoughts. It comes from ourselves. And then the second part of the paper, the chart had, what does God say? What does God's truth say? And so it directly, obviously, was the opposite of those lies. Mm-hmm. God sees us as worthy. He sent his son to die on the cross for us. God says he knew us before we were even born, right? He's the one who designed us. God loves us, and it's not about all of our success and what we do. It's not performance. And then the last part of it was a Bible verse. So to back up what God's truth is, there's a Bible verse. And so the activity was to, one, identify the lies, the deception we may have felt. Two, to acknowledge, okay, does that line up with what God says? And then three, I had them pray and ask God to say, hey, you know, I may have agreed with this, I may have believed this, but in your name, I know this is not true. And so to protect my heart and my mind from these lies, and instead fill me with how you do see things, what is the truth? And so, yeah, I feel like that was a huge portion of starting this series of truth, is to help them get tools to feel confident, to be able to discuss these things and to identify these things. Because I told them sometimes the hardest ones are the ones that come from inside ourselves, mm-hmm. right? It's not necessarily someone's voice saying it to you, but it's, now I have a thought about something, or something sprung up in me, or I noticed something and I think, well, if I'm thinking that, then that must be true. Mm-hmm. Right. But it's easy to be deceived. And so, that was what we did this past Sunday. And, moving forward, we're going to jump into truths now as after we've covered lies, but that was the first portion of this series.
Yeah. I really like how you gave them, not necessarily that things need to have formulas, but you kind of gave them a way to process how to interact with some of these thoughts, especially the negative ones that could be lies, right? And identify the lie and then seek the Lord. And I think that's really cool that you went in that direction and that you're giving them the tools to be able to combat some of these lies. And it's interesting because we have a kind of a funny story of what happened later that day on Sunday after, or not afternoon, but Sunday after they were done with their class. Brett comes over and I'm sitting in the back running the visual, and Brett comes over and I was like, how did it go? And he's like, oh, it was good. And he showed me kind of the paper that they went through, and I was like, oh, this is cool. Pastor Barry just talked about this. And then as he's talking to me, Dylan walks up, my son walks up, and he throws his notebook on the table and he's like, you need to look at that. And I was like, what?
Yeah, I was like, whoa, Dylan, because I knew what Dylan wrote. And so what he wrote, I knew how to deal with you. And so when he said, you need to read this, I was like, well, one, I was like, whoa. But second, I was like, that's kind of cool that he actually wants you to read it, because it could be uncomfortable or weird to have your parent read if you're writing about them, you know?
Yeah. Yeah. So I said, okay, I'll read it when I get a chance. I didn't want to read it right then because I was trying to run. I was trying to do the putting the lyrics on the on the screen for everyone to be. I was like, I should be focused. So I read it, and you know, the lie that he had been believing was that he was alone, and it said, because you know, sometimes it feels like my parents don't listen to me, and so I was like, okay, I don't want to respond right away. I want to give it some time to be able to sit with it. So then that night we talked about it a little bit as a family at the dinner table. We talked a little bit about it. And, you know, for me, I thought it was because he talks about, you know, video games a lot, because, you know, he's a 11-year-old boy. So he loves his video games, and, you know, he plays all these different games that are kind of like Pokemon. So they have all these different characters. You know, Pokemon has probably like 900, 1,000 characters, and he plays like two or three games that are like that. So there's thousands of characters that he knows, and he'll talk to me about it. So I told him, I was like, hey, Dylan, you know, like, you are an expert in all of these games that I don't have time to play. So sometimes when you're talking, it's kind of easy for me to, you know, not necessarily check out, but I just don't even know. I don't know what you're talking about. And he's like, no, it's not that. It's not then. It's when I'm talking about school. And in my mind, I was like, wait, do I not? Most of the time I listen to you when you're talking about school. And then he was like, yeah, see, you said most of the time. So I was like, okay, I need to sit with this. So then yesterday morning when I was on my run, I felt like the Lord said, like, he's experiencing this aloneness and this feeling of being alone. And it's a generational thing. And it's something that you dealt with when you were growing up, but you've had to work through it with me. And now you recognize that you're not alone. But that's something that you had to work through. And so he's experiencing the same thing. It's a generational thing that's been passed down. And so you can help walk him through this. And I was like, oh, okay. That makes sense to me, God. Like, I get it. And so after I got home and after he woke up, because I run early in the morning. So after he woke up, I brought him into his room. We shut the door, and I told him, hey, you know, this is what I felt like the Lord told me. It's like, this is a generational thing. And I kind of shared with him a little bit about my experience growing up in this feeling of alone. And then, so he understood. And I said, yeah, I owned it when there are times that I don't, you know, listen to him all the time. But at the same time, I said, you know, there are some of these voices that you're going to hear that are not real, because they're, you know, demons or the enemy speaking to you. And so you need to be able to discern when that's a lie. And then, when that happens too, the truth is, I love you. You're my son. And I told him, I said, if there's a time where you feel like I'm not listening to you, grab my face, put it in yours, and say, listen to me right now. And so, yeah. But anyway, so I told him, like, let's walk through this together. And so we sat and we prayed, and it was a similar prayer to what Brett had led them through. So I think that there was a connection point there for him too, is that, oh, Uncle Brett and Daddy are kind of doing the similar type thing. And so, yeah, it was really cool for me as a dad, because it's like Brett is serving up these softballs for me to be able to just hit them. Right. And so he's sending my son home with these activities and these things to do. And that when we talk about it, we're able to actually come closer together as a family and be able to walk through that together. So I was like, oh, this is so cool what you're doing, Brett, with them. And some of the things that you're doing to give them the tools to be able to take their faith outside of the church 2 hours, but to bring it home and make it a part of their regular life to fill the other 166 hours a week that they're not at church and hearing these positive voices directly from our church leaders. But when they're attacked during the middle of the week, they have these tools too.
Yeah, I mean, that activity was something that actually Rihanna, she helped come up with, and she had mentioned that that's actually an activity that she remembers from when she was back in children's ministry. So as I was processing and planning for this series, I felt like, oh, that's actually something that would be really good as I'm talking about lies, like to help combat lies. Mm-hmm. It goes along well with my idea also to have them memorize scripture, right? Like you said, tools. You know, I just wanted it to be, and I think I've mentioned it maybe before on the podcast, but I wanted it to be something that they feel like they have power in knowing God's word, that knowing these verses, it's not just going to be good for them to know. It's not just going to be, okay, you get a prize if you memorize it, but like, you guys are going to deal with things. You guys are going to run into situations or have thoughts, and you may not know what to do with it, or you may not recognize that it's not from God, or maybe it's going to make you not feel good. Mm-hmm. So what then do you do? Right. And so I told them that, you know, I picked out, I think it was 12 verses that, I wanted them to pick one that they would memorize that resonates with them.
Yeah. And all the verses that you picked are really good ones when you are experiencing lies, or when you are experiencing trials or things that are rough, to be able to fall back on. And I think that was really cool about how you chose the verses to offer them.
Yeah. And I told them, like, you know, that verse that you chose yourself, that could be a prayer for yourself. Like, you don't have, like, if you don't know what to pray, but you're like, just pray that to God. God, guide me. God, lead me. God, show me. I know you love me. So help me to have an undivided heart. You know, like, it's words that it's like there for you. It's there for you. You don't have to make it up. Mm-hmm. You can just ask God. You can, or, you know, I told them, for me in my battles and different verses that I've memorized, I will say those things to focus on something else besides the lie, mm-hmm. right? I will take the verses and use it to capture my own thoughts and refocus them so that I can be in more alignment with God instead of getting into this spiral of thinking all these negative things, or the what ifs, or the I don't feel good, you know, all these things. It's like, no, let me start with my mind and focus it on God's word and his truth. And, it, you know, in turn, the rest of my body, and it may not be in an instant, but it starts to follow suit. It starts to, okay, if I'm focused on this, okay, I'm going to start to feel a little better. My mind's not going to be so concentrated on the darkness or the evil or the negative. And then it just shifts my whole perspective, right? And so I told them, you guys have power with these verses. Let it become a part of your arsenal. Let it become a part of your tools. Let it become a weapon that you can use to fight. Yeah. And sometimes that fight is internal. It's not always going to be against somebody, but you know, I read in the verse that the way that we wage war is not like on earth. It's not with
not against flesh and blood.
Not, yeah, it's going to be sometimes with things you can't see.
Yeah.
And so how do you do that, right? And so I'm hoping that these tools, like you said, are going to be ways that they can feel equipped, they can feel more confident, and then, yeah, they're able to combat some of these things that they're dealing with.
Yeah, and then it's not just a self-help thing, you know, like in the secular version of where we're just trying to think better, but really it's rooted in God's truth about us. Mm-hmm. And so there is a foundation to it, and it just brings to mind, you know, when Jesus talks about, you know, the people that go and do the things that he says, it's like building your house on the rock, right? Mm-hmm. And so what you're trying to do is you're trying to help our kids and our youth to be able to have that foundation of the rock that when the wind comes and the waves come and everything is hard, that their foundation is on the rock. And so they don't get swayed by all these different things because they have a strong foundation that's rooted in God's word. And it's not just on, you know, oh, the way that I'm supposed to think right, or it's not just, it's very tangible because it's God's truth about them.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. And I would say, I mean, because like I shared before, you know, I chose to say, walk with them too and say, all the verses that get chosen, I'll memorize all of them. And so I think there's 7 total different ones. And you said you would walk with me in that. And so has my wife, Brittany. And so I can even see how it's helped my perspective on things, that those verses are more on my mind and on my heart and directing my thoughts. And so, you know, I kind of framed it to them like, hey, like, if you guys want to memorize more than one, like, that's awesome, because that just means you're adding more weapons and tools to your belt, right, mm-hmm. to your arsenal. And so,
yeah, I wish I had that perspective on Sunday when you said we had to memorize 2 extra ones because 2 new kids came and picked 2 new ones.
No, yeah. So it's tough and sometimes it can seem overwhelming, but like literally Brittany and I would just do it like sometimes at night together and just read them and test each other. And it's like not actually that big of a deal, right? But it's, I mean, kind of like what I said earlier, it's one of those small things that is kind of ballooning into a bigger thing, right? Mm-hmm. It's, okay, I'm doing this, memorizing this verse to walk with the middle schoolers, which could be seen as small or smaller, mm-hmm. right? And it's ballooned to now walking with you in it, to walking with Brittany in it. But then like now it's on my mind. And so my perspectives are changing so that my heart and my mind is more aligned with God. And so it's like this little thing is ballooning to something bigger, which if I didn't take emphasis on it, or if I didn't see it as important, or I didn't make it a priority, that wouldn't have happened, and I would have been missing out on maybe something that God has for me.
Yeah, and even in that too, now because Dylan is supposed to be memorizing verses, Karis decided she wanted to memorize verses too, but that girl is super motivated, so I think she's memorized 3 verses in the last few days, and she's like, I need a new one. I need a new one. I need a new one. I'm like, you're going to pass me. Like, slow down a little bit.
No, I even used, because Karis told me that she memorized the verses and she came and said them to me and Brittany before service. And I told my middle schoolers, I was like, have any of you guys memorized any of your verses yet? And a couple of them were like, I think I know it, but I might mess up some of the words, so I don't want to say it yet. And I was like, okay, that's fine. I'm going to ask them every week. But then I did tell them, well, I heard that Karis Gohada has already memorized 3, so she's got at least 2 more weapons than all of you, and she's kicking your guys' butt. So hopefully that lights a little bit of a fire underneath her to motivate them to memorize.
Yeah, hopefully our middle schooler is a little bit competitive and can't let, especially my son, hopefully he's competitive and won't let his little sister beat him.
But I think it's awesome that you have been able to talk to Dylan about things. It's spread to Karis. And I think my heart really is, it's not like, I appreciate you thanking me for doing this, but really it's not like me, like that's on how God's moving. And it's what I want is for it to like, you talk about all the other hours that we spend outside of church. That's really what I want. I want it to translate to being at home and growing and using these tools outside of church, because when you're in church, yeah, we're all focused on that. But as soon as we leave church, is that translating to the mm-hmm. rest of your life? And so if that already is, to whether it's Karis at her age for memorizing verses and her wanting to fill herself with that, to Dylan and being able to talk to you about things and be open, just have that open connection of, I mean, that could have been tough for him to say to you, like, you need to read this. And then, you know, and then the way that you respond and the way that you take it and wanting to have a discussion and see it in a bigger picture and pray over him and walk with him through it. Like that's huge to me. That's like affirmation that of like, okay, God, I will keep doing this as long as you, this is all you doing the work outside of this, because it's out of my hands after that. And so, it's really encouraging and affirming to me to hear those stories and to get that feedback, because I think it only encourages me to push forward and continuing to provide with discernment these areas that I can hopefully serve up to you guys. And instead of a softball, let's say throw you in a little bit of alley-oop so you can get a dunk.
I like that better,
yeah,
too.
Yeah.
I like that better, too.
Yeah.
Yeah, so, you know, we're in a season of spiritual disciplines, and we've actually talked about a few, even though we didn't specifically say that they're spiritual disciplines, but we did talk about a few during this episode, you know, so We talked about memorizing scripture and how you've been trying to incorporate that. And really just you're trying to help our young people build good habits, right? And
yeah.
kind of like you said, can we turn some of these little things into something bigger, right? And so really that's kind of the direction that we want to go with this whole series on spiritual disciplines is, can we just start small? Wherever we're at, is there something that we can take one more step? Can we do one more thing? You know, maybe for this episode, you are someone that got inspired to, maybe you want to memorize a verse. So I think what we'll end up doing is we'll put a picture or a PDF or something of the verses that Brett passed out to the youth or our middle schoolers. We'll attach that with the description for this episode, just so that if that's something that you're inspired by, here's some verses that we feel like are good for our middle schoolers that might be good for you too. So if there's something that you're going through, maybe there's one of these verses that's really highlighted that might speak to you too. And if you're one of the parents and your middle schooler hasn't shown you the list yet, you can maybe find out from them which one they're memorizing and maybe do that with them too.
Definitely. I mean, for the parents, I'm gonna send that out, and so everybody will be able to see it. But I'm gonna be a little bold and say, if you're listening to this, I think you should just memorize a verse. It doesn't have to be one for the list, but I challenge you to, yeah, this is gonna be an Engage to Flourish challenge officially. I challenge you to take a verse and memorize it. And whether it's a verse that is dear to your heart or one that you feel like God's highlighting or one that you've never read before, but for some reason it's like someone has told you it or whatever, I challenge you to just memorize one verse, right? The whole thing from it being small and becoming a big thing, I think oftentimes it's not even us trying to make it a big thing, but as you step into it, especially like for me that I found with God's word, it's like, He opens the doors for things to get bigger, provide more opportunity. You know, it's like, I didn't think initially any of this stuff would happen, right? But it's God's doing, and it's me trying to be obedient to the little things and then seeing, like, to me, hearing you share with, like, to me, that's a big thing. I couldn't have never said, if I do this, then this is going to happen, right? But by me being obedient, saying, hey, I'm going to provide this opportunity, God opens the door and big things happen. And that's kind of how we want it, right? Like,
yeah,
we need God leading in the big things, because when the big things are of us, it might end up being an argument about fantasy football.
Yeah. And I think really for us as parents, you know, I think one of the things that you're really doing is like you said, you're trying to throw us a little bit of an alley-oop so we can get the slam dunk. And I think that's one of the practices that we can try to start incorporating is just as after we leave church and we're on our way home, just asking our kids, like, what's something you guys talked about in church today? What did you learn in church today? What did you learn about God? And just making that a regular part of our routine. Because I know it's so easy, especially for parents that have kids in sports, like, oh, I got to get to the game. I got to do this. I got to do that. But can we just in the car ride just say, hey, what did you learn? What did Uncle Brett talk about today? Or what did Uncle Cameron talk about today? What are some of the things that you're learning? And just really just taking some of those easy steps. And who knows where it's going to blossom into, because I wouldn't have known that Dylan and I would have had that experience yesterday morning where we're able to pray together against this thing. But because, I mean, he kind of threw it in my face when he threw the journal at me and said, you need to read this. But still, like, some of these opportunities can grow into something big and be really good for our families and connection within our families if we just take these little steps.
Yeah, and I think one way I can encourage parents too, if it's too hard to ask what you learn in church or it not much comes out, you know, I have some leaders that come and help me with middle school, and they're super awesome. They were in service for this past Sunday, but we had a hangout, and I told them, I told the middle schoolers that, hey, Tommy and Julie weren't in class today, so can someone teach them what you guys learned? And so it's like almost bringing the leaders down who are normally above them down to their level and saying, I want to learn from you, so you teach me. And it almost, I feel like, gives the kids a level of like responsibility, but also like this confidence and almost like power to say like, oh yeah, like I can teach you something, right? And so parents, if you don't want to just, if you ask your kids, what'd you learn? It's like, I don't know, or how was church? Fine. Ask them, hey, can you teach me what you learned in class? Like, I want to learn, like, I want to know, right? Like, it's been so awesome to hear you give feedback of the conversations that you and Dylan have been having after class and the things that he's learning, and you encouraging him like, oh my gosh, like what you're learning, like that's, you know, that's awesome. And so, you know, parents, you guys do a great job. All of your kids that I've been able to be in contact are awesome. And I think we just want to foster more opportunities for that connection with God involved, mm-hmm. right? We just want more opportunities where God is the glue and the focus of discussions or conversation, or it's rooted in who God is and his word. And so, I hope that through this series and the things moving forward, and maybe even this podcast is a connection point that we can all have conversations with our families and people we know back at home or wherever.
Yeah. So Brett, I just wanted to say thanks again for coming on this episode. You're always welcome on the show.
Anytime you need me, I will do my best. And I'll try to also help you get maybe some new guests so people don't have to keep hearing me. But I really appreciate this podcast and just what we're able to fill our hearts and our minds with, something uplifting, encouraging, funny, deep, just that rather than all this other stuff that we could be listening to all the time.
Yeah, so until next time, may you experience God's heart for you to flourish in every season. Thanks for listening to the Engage to Flourish podcast. Don't forget to subscribe on Spotify, Apple, or Google Podcasts. You can check out more of our content on our YouTube, Instagram, and Facebook pages by searching for Catalyst Christian Community. If you want to check out our church in person, we meet every Sunday at 10 a.m. at Stanford Middle School in Long Beach. We'd love for you to come out and experience being a part of our church family.